Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning, and great to have you out there listening today. If you have your Bible, turn it to Matthew, the first chapter. We're going to take a look at the birth of Jesus, the Christmas story, and we just thank the Lord for this time of year when we can give thanks for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for his birth, and we can celebrate his birth. And of all the things we have to celebrate, this is one of the greatest, the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and his resurrection, the time when he came up out of the grave, when he defeated death. And so we just praise the Lord for this time. We praise the Lord for this time on the radio today. Matthew verse 20 in chapter 1, but while he thought, this is about Joseph, the betrothed to Mary, and it says, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so Joseph was betrothed to Mary. He did not know really what was going on. Mary had been hovered over, and the Holy Spirit of God had hovered over her, and she had conceived a son. And the angel says to Joseph, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And I'm sure Joseph was a bit confused about the whole thing. He was probably perplexed and had no idea really what was going on, but he trusted the Lord. He trusted that God had a plan for him. He trusted that God had a plan for Mary, and he received the message that the angel sent. He received it, and he was willing to submit himself. He was willing to submit Mary as his wife. And of course, you know the rest of the story. They went to Bethlehem to be taxed, and Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and that was prophesied by Micah and Micah 5:2 that he would be born in the same village where David was born. And Bethlehem means house of bread, and Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And so Jesus was born in that place where he declared to the world, I am the bread of life. Well, I'm sure Joseph had lots of questions, as I stated before, and Jesus was given the name by the angel, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And God had, brothers and sisters, God had in mind way back at the beginning when he placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he had in mind that there may come a time when he would have to send his son Jesus to redeem all mankind. He had in mind that mankind would have the propensity, and not just the propensity, but the inclination to stumble and to fall and to sin. And the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so that was true for Adam and Eve as well, that they were given a choice to eat of all of the trees of the garden and the tree of life in the garden. They were given that choice to eat of all of those trees, and yet they chose to eat of the one tree that God forbid them to eat of, and that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God says, if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. And they could not resist the temptation to eat of that tree. Well, we know the devil came to them, and he told the lie to them. He started speaking to Eve, and he said, God surely did not tell you to stay away from that tree, did you? In other words, he started accusing God of lying to them. And so Eve succumbed. She succumbed to the temptation. It tells us that Eve was deceived, but Adam is the one that sinned, because Adam was there, and he allowed the devil to tempt and to talk to his wife. And so Adam and Eve both fell, and God knew that that was a possibility. He knew that that would happen. And so because God knows the beginning from the end, he knows the Alpha from the Omega, he knew that there would be a possibility, and not just a possibility, but a probability that man would choose to sin. And so he had the option to send his son Jesus. He had the choice to send his own son Jesus. The Bible tells us that God looked around for someone to save all of mankind, that he looked for someone who was righteous enough to make the sacrifice and to save mankind from their sins. But Jesus Christ was the only one, his very own son, the righteous one. And that's why Jesus' father was the Holy Spirit. His true father was the Holy Spirit. Joseph was just a stand-in. He was just the earthly picture for Mary to have a husband. But Jesus' true father was the Holy Spirit of God, because Jesus had to be born through divinity. Jesus had to be born through perfection and through a sinless bloodline. And so his father was the Holy Spirit. Well, in verse 22 of Matthew 1, it says, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying," verse 23, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." "And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." So Joseph was obedient. He took Mary as his wife, and it says he did not know her. In other words, they did not consummate their earthly marriage until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Well, in verse 23, it says that Jesus Christ, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which is translated "God with us." And so Jesus, the incarnate God, the man God, the earthly God, he came here as a baby. He came in that stable in the most lowly and humble of circumstances, in a manger, in a stable with the oxen and with the sheep and with the donkeys. And he came in the most humble of circumstances. And the angels announced his birth to the shepherds, the most humble and lowly of people on the earth. And this was all done to show mankind that Jesus was going to reach out to the lowly, that Jesus was going to intercede and be an intercessor and be the Savior for all of mankind, even the lowly, even the despicable and the outcasts of the nations, and even the untouchables of the nations, and those who have no standing and no status and no fame and no fortune. Jesus Christ is here for them. Jesus Christ came for them, and he's here for them today. Those who have no place in life and no fame or fortune, Jesus Christ came to set the captives free. He came to break every yoke. He came to declare the release to the prisoners and preach the good news of the gospel to the poor. He came to give sight to the blind and to declare this the favorable year of the Lord. And so Jesus Christ came for the poor. He said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for they shall be filled, and they shall be satisfied." And so Jesus Christ came for the lowly. He came for the outcast. He came for you, the broken. He came for me, the broken. And he came to set us free and to break every yoke, to break every chain of bondage that you have and that I have. He came to break every chain and to set us free from whatever it is that is holding us back and from whatever it is that holds us down. He wants to set you free, brother and sister. He wants to break every yoke and every chain off of you this very day. And so angel says that his name is to be called Jesus, and his name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And just as God was with us for those 33 and a half years when Jesus Christ walked this earth in incarnate form, God was with us. God is also with you today through the Holy Spirit. God is with you today. And if you feel like God is distant, if you feel like God is not available to you, like maybe he's just some nebulous concept out there and you really don't have any feelings toward him, you really don't have any relationship towards him. You really don't have anything that you can say is concrete in your knowledge of God. I just want to encourage you today to let you know that God is with you today. He will never forsake you nor abandon you, that He is with you today. And if you have been running from God, if you've been turning away from God, if you've been seeking other gods of other religions, or maybe just ignoring God, maybe you feel like you're an agnostic or an atheist today, God is with you. As soon as you seek Him, as soon as you turn to Him and seek Him, you will know that He is there, because He will reveal Himself to you. And just as He revealed Himself to Joseph and Mary, and the angel said that God will be with us, and God was with them, so He too, Jesus, is not going to be with you in fleshly incarnate form, but God will be with you through the Holy Spirit, and God will reveal Himself to you just as He did to those people for that 33 and a half years when God was walking on this earth in the incarnate body of Jesus Christ. Well, in Isaiah 7:14, the prophecy about Emmanuel and God with us came from a prophecy that Isaiah spoke 650 years or so before Jesus Christ was born, before Jesus walked this earth. God gave the message to Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament, and it says in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good." Well, that's certainly true of Jesus Christ. He knew to refuse the evil and choose the good. Jesus Christ was obedient to the Father. The Bible tells us that He was obedient to the Father in every way, and even to the point of choosing to go to His death on the cross, even to the point of saying, "Father, I will submit myself to a horrendous and horrific death on the cross. I will shed my blood that mankind can be saved from their sins, and I will be submissive to You, Father, in every circumstance and in every situation. I will be submissive to You and obedient to You." And so Jesus then knew to choose good. Another prophecy from Isaiah in Isaiah 9:6. It tells us about the nature of this child that is to be born. It tells us about His nature, His character, and that He is to be born to us, and gives us other names to describe Him as He has His earthly walk here on this earth. It tells us what His names will be. And it says in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And so the Bible gives us a lot of clues. Isaiah gave a lot of clues about who Jesus would be, who this Messiah would be. It says He will come from the throne of David. He will sit upon the throne of David. And it says there will be no end to the increase of His government. And that's true, brother and sister, the increase of the government of Jesus Christ. It just keeps going on and on. As I travel the world and have seen the kingdom of God in many countries, I've seen the church, the ecclesia, the church of God in many countries, I'm always just fascinated about how God speaks to people in many ways, in their own languages and in other languages. He gives them other tongues to speak in other languages, and the kingdom of God is immense. It goes into every village, in every country, in every part of the world. It goes all across the world. through radio broadcasts, through TV broadcasts, through internet, emails, and the kingdom of God is immense, and it's responsible for most of the good things that have happened here on this earth. The kingdom of God is responsible for hospitals, for medical clinics, for orphanages, for schools, for benevolent acts performed by individual people and by institutions and churches. The kingdom of God is responsible for nearly all of that. And so we just praise the Lord that the increase of his government shall never end. We praise the Lord for the increase of his government. And the names that were given of Jesus Christ to describe his character, the names that were given to describe his nature. He is a wonderful counselor, and I believe, brother and sister, you can go to Jesus with any problem that you have. Whatever burden you have in your life, whatever is weighing you down, whatever problems you have, they may be with relationships, they may be with your husband or your wife or your finances, whatever it is that is weighing you down, you can go to Jesus. You can tell your problems to him. You can share your burden with him, and he is always with you. He is always there to listen and to hear your cry and to hear your plea. Secondly, he is a mighty God. He is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. I saw in the service last night a person come out of another religion and step forward to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit had wooed him over a period of time of a month or two, and he finally stepped forward to accept Jesus. Jesus is mighty to save. He is a mighty God. He can perform miracles in your life. He can perform miracles in your family if you just pray to him and ask him. God cares about you. He cares about every detail of your life. And Jesus Christ cares about every detail of your life. And he is mighty to save and to hear your prayer. Now, thirdly, he is an everlasting Father. It tells us in the Bible that God is the Father to the fatherless. He is the Father to the orphans. He is the helper. In every situation, he is the helper, and Jesus Christ is exact epitome. He is the exact duplicate of his Father. He's not the same entity, but he is just like his Father in every way. He is shown to be true to everything that his Father was. He is shown to be obedient to his Father, and so Jesus Christ is also an everlasting Father to us. He cares about the widows. He cares about the orphans. He cares about the fatherless. He cares about the homeless. He cares about those who have no money and those who have no place to sleep. And so Jesus Christ is also our everlasting Father, just as Jehovah, his Father, is also our everlasting Father. And fourth, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Jesus said that, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives do I give unto you, but therefore let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Jesus Christ wants you to have peace. He wants you to have peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And so he wants you to have peace. And when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that peace will come upon you. And all these circumstances and situations that come upon you that want to drag you down, that want to depress you and put you in despair, all of these situations and circumstances, they will be set aside, they will be put in their proper perspective by the relationship that you have with the Prince of Peace. Your gaze will be elevated, your gaze will be lifted to where you will look for the Prince of Peace in every situation, and you will say, "Jesus, I turn this over to you. I trust you, Jesus, that you're big enough to handle this situation. I trust you that when I lay this burden at the foot of the cross, when I lay this burden onto you, that you're big enough to carry it." And so Jesus Christ wants you to receive his peace. He wants you to know peace, that you need not be anxious about any situation, that you need not be anxious and afraid and wrapped in fear. He wants you to be able to say, "I'm going to move forward with boldness. I'm going to move forward with confidence, and I'm going to move forward with the peace that Jesus Christ desires for me. And if you'll trust him, if you'll pray to him, if you'll take every situation to him in prayer, you will have that peace that he desires for you to have. You will know that peace that passes all understanding. You will know that peace just as Jesus Christ desires for you to have. Well, last prophecy that I'm going to look at today and talk about, Isaiah 11:1, is the sevenfold spirits of God, also a description of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 11:1, and it says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse." Jesse was the father of David, and so the Bible tells us here in Isaiah that Jesus Christ is going to come from that stem. He's going to come from that lineage, and a branch will grow out of his roots. And verse 2 in Isaiah 11, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." And there is, brothers and sisters, the sevenfold spirits of God, and that also describes the character, and it describes the essence of Jesus Christ, that he had the sevenfold spirits of God within him, that he was in every way like his father, Jehovah. In every way, he was the depiction of his father, Jehovah God. And all of these attributes that we attribute to God the Father, all of these attributes, the sevenfold spirits, all of those resided in his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, Emmanuel means God is with us. God is still with you today. Jesus spoke to the disciples before he ascended to heaven, before he released them to go teach, and he said, "Go therefore," in Matthew 28:19, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so he is with us always, even to the end of the age. The age hasn't ended yet. Thank God we've still got work to do, and we still got time to bring the lost into the kingdom. But Jesus promised that he would be with us even to the end of the age, and he is with you, brother and sister. He is with you today, even to the end of the age. And I just pray, if you don't know Jesus is with you, I pray if you've never made a decision to accept him as your Lord and Savior, that you would do this today, that you would get down on your knees and say, "Jesus, I want you to be with me. I want you to impart into me the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit that you impart when people come to confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior." And so I pray that you do that today. I pray that you receive Jesus. He wants to be with you. And all you have to do is open up your hand and open up your heart and say yes to him. Well, thank you for listening today. Thank you for tuning in each and every week. I hope you have a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. I hope you speak to the Lord today and just thank him for all the great and wonderful things he's done for you in your life, all the things that he's given you. Just thank him and be grateful. And I thank you for tuning in. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.